Kent Online News. Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, January 6th. Coming up today, we hear from a woman who nearly died from anorexia as she shares her story to help others. The Ashford MP outlines his priorities for 2026. And if you're wondering what to do with your old Christmas tree, we've got the answer for you. But first, taking a look at our top story today. A Canterbury pub landlord has revealed government changes to his business rates mean he'll need to sell an extra 130,000 pints a year. Charles Smythe runs four venues in the city and says the extra costs will set him back £64,000 annually. He's been speaking to reporter Sam Lennon.
After COVID, the hospitality industry got a really good helping hand. And without being political, the government did very, very well. It possibly might have been a knee-jerk reaction where they gave all this money away without really means testing everything. So maybe they gave away too much. Kind of, I'm not an accountant sort of thing. We did okay. We paid our staff 100% of their salary, even though it was only paid up to 70%. And we invested in everything like that. But we also got a 70% discount on our business rates. Now, our business rates at the kind of after COVID payable that we had to pay after a 70% between four sites was £25,731. At the end of this kind of budget, or the start of this new budget, before any discounts, and there are a few discounts, we're going to have to pay £90,651. So, yeah, it's £64,000 additional.
And that budget that you mentioned, when does that sort of, what's the dates for that?
So in terms of the business rates hike, it is, we had the budget in November, December, and it kicks in April. To actually pay for the £60,000 increase, I have to sell additionally 111,548 pints to make 60 grand. That is at, I'll get these figures right, £6.50 a pint. Now, some of my pints are a lot cheaper. I do a pint here for £4.95 because of, you know, I want footfall. Of that £6.50, £1.08 is VAT. So you just ignore that. That's not ours. So we get £5.42 for a pint that's £6.50. Now, we're doing okay, but as a group, we make about 9% profit. So to put it in terms of kind of take 9% or 9 pence out of a pound, it works out over 100,000 pints I just have to make up. That's not including any of the increases that I'm going to have, which is the duty, nor the kind of increase in national minimum wage. This is as it is now. So that's going to go up most probably to, I don't know, £130,000, 130 pints, just to stand still. I've got four sites that are doing okay. God knows what's happening to smaller country pubs. How are they surviving? You know, I've got some amazing people. Say, pubs are about people. My managers are brilliant. My staff are brilliant. They understand where we're coming from. And we will pay them as much as we can. But after a while, we have to pass it on.
The changes announced in the autumn budget have led to a number of Labour MPs and councillors being banned from pubs across the UK.
Kent Online News.
Police have confirmed two people who were killed in a crash near Sittingbourne were a 17-year-old boy and 16-year-old girl. The blue Ford Fiesta they were in left Old Ferry Road in Iwade on Saturday night. Another 16-year-old was taken to hospital. John Gale works nearby and spoke to Kristen Hawthorne from our colleagues at KMTV.
I saw it all taped off. I just thought a car had gone in, gone over the top, and someone had got out and walked home or something like that. I didn't realise it was as bad as this till now. I I just saw the, you know, it taped off and thought, you see it all the time, don't you? People gone over the top and crashed a car and just walk home. But I didn't realise there's people killed till now, till I saw the flowers.
And do you think this is quite a dangerous road?
Well, it is with it slippery like this. It's icy. I mean, you can, the car just goes from underneath you sometimes. You can feel it. I mean, you've got to be careful around these back lanes. You know, it's, you've got to drive to the conditions.
The investigation is continuing. A man who was charged over an alleged acid attack at a Rochester pub has avoided going to jail. Alfie Russell sprayed a substance at his victim outside Ye Arrow near the High Street last September. The 23-year-old from Hornchurch in London was given a suspended sentence and told to do 150 hours of unpaid work. A police dog has found a bag containing what's thought to be cocaine, ketamine and cannabis in Folkestone. It was discovered after police followed a van in Hawkinge last Tuesday. It was later found in Atkinson Road and two men were arrested. A 28-year-old from the town and a 23-year-old from Ashford have been questioned and released on bail. A drunk woman who exposed herself several times to emergency medical staff at a Kent hospital has been ordered to sign the sex offenders register. Naomi Tankara was taken to Darrent Valley in Dartford after she was found unwell at the Inn on the Lake near Gravesend in August. Ambulance crews were forced to pull onto the hard shoulder of the A2 to restrain her on the way to hospital. The 45-year-old from Bapchild Avenue in Sittingbourne has been issued with several fines and ordered to wear an alcohol monitoring tag for 120 days. Three people have been treated by paramedics following a bedroom fire in Chatham. Crews were called to Castle Road just before 7 yesterday evening and managed to put out the blaze. Police were also there, but it's not being treated as suspicious. Some sad news for the county now. The detective who brought one of Kent's most notorious criminals to justice has died at the age of 79. Nick Bittis from Herne Bay led the team who investigated the M25 road rage killing by Kenneth Noy near Swanley in 1996. Following his retirement, the 79-year-old worked as a security manager. He passed away last month after being diagnosed with bowel cancer.
Kent Online News.
The boss of South East Water has been quizzed by MPs after thousands of customers in Tunbridge Wells were left without supplies before Christmas. A problem at a treatment plant in Pembrey caused the issue and a number of hospitality businesses in the town were forced to cancel festive bookings. Dave Hinton has been called to appear before the Environment, Food and Rural Affairs Committee. He was asked how he would score his response to the outage out of 10.
What mark would you give yourself and your company out of 10 for your handling of that incident?
So, if I could split it into three sections, if I may.
If you can give yourself the mark out of 10.
Well, it's hard to give it a mark out of 10 because there's lots of different facets to it. So the response was by far and away the biggest response we've ever done. The amount of resources we put on it was by far and away the largest we've ever put.
Well, it was probably the biggest failure you've ever had, was it not?
In terms of customers impacted, this wasn't the biggest impact of the events we've had over the last 5 years, but it was undoubtedly the largest response because the investment we put into the response side of it. There are definitely lessons to be learnt on the water quality side, which we've already adopted.
But you're not going to give me a mark out of 10?
It's really hard on a single number.
Well, you've got 10 numbers to choose from.
Well, I'd give you three numbers, and I'd say 8 out of 10 in terms of response, I'd say 6 out of 10 in terms of communications, and I'd say 6 out of 10 in terms of the actual prevention of the event in the first place.
A yellow weather warning for ice has been issued for Kent as the cold snap continues. The alert comes into force at midnight and lasts until 10 tomorrow morning. We're being urged to watch out for slippery roads and pavements. The Ashford MP says reinstating international rail to the town remains his top priority this year. Eurostar haven't stopped trains there since COVID, despite increasing pressure to resume services. Last October, Virgin Trains were given permission to use a depot in East London, paving the way for running an international service through the county. Sojan Joseph has been speaking to Nicola.
Nicola, as you know, we have done quite a lot of work to bring international train back to Ashford. It was one of my top priority when I stood on the election. Last year was as a successful year in terms of ending monopoly for Eurostar and Virgin Train getting permission to start operating. So So we achieved the first step is completed. So there's a lot more work need to be done before we see the trains actually stopping in Ashford, which is important for Ashford, the whole of East Kent and wider Kent. It's important for businesses. So that remains as top of my priority until that train stop in Ashford. So that's why it's on the top of the list.
Yeah, you mentioned how beneficial it would be, not just for Ashford, but that, well, I mean, the whole of Kent, really, because it would mean a lot of us wouldn't have to travel into London before getting onto an international train. But for Ashford specifically, how vital is it? Do you think it would bring more investment into the town? Would it help businesses thrive? Paint a sort of picture for us.
Absolutely. As we had that Good Growth Foundation report during last summer, which clearly states the huge economic benefit for Ashford and the whole region. Many businesses moved into Ashford in the past when we had that connectivity. We lost a lot of them. So we need, it's good for the job market, it's good for tourism. There's so many daily visitors. We have access to Canterbury, Margate, and Ashford is a travel hub for the whole of the Kent. It is vital to, for that tourism industry, job market, economic growth. It will benefit Ashford in a big time. And we know that it was helping us in the past. So it is vital to bring that service back to Ashford. And also, this government is looking to reset the relation with the Europe, and some announcements coming about the youth movements and the trade deals that we agreed with the Europe. So it is important that Ashford is sitting right in the front, that connection with the Europe, and it will benefit Ashford hugely.
It's hoped planned changes to special educational needs provision could help Kent County Council save money. The government wants to limit the number of pupils eligible for an EHCP, which sets out the support they need. Parents currently have a right to apply, but it now could be restricted to schools only. It would allow bosses to save money on processing costs and free transport for pupils.
Kent Online News.
High Street Chains, Claire's and the original Factory Shop are being put into administration. It puts dozens of jobs at risk at the remaining stores in Kent, including Bluewater, Chatham Dockside Outlet and Royal Victoria Place in Tunbridge Wells. Modella Capital, which owns the businesses, says despite its best efforts, neither company is likely to trade profitably again. Patients at a GP surgery in Whitstable are being warned about scam text messages about parking fines. Charges have recently been introduced at Estuary View Medical Centre. The message claims to be a parking charge notice, but bosses insist a fine would never be issued in that way. Vandals have been criticised for scrawling graffiti on playground equipment at a park in Dartford. The site on Willow Road was left covered in red paint after recently being refurbished. Council bosses say they're aware of it and will be removing the graffiti this week. Now, a Maidstone woman who nearly died from anorexia has told us she wants to use her experiences to help others. Annie O'Quigley started struggling with body image and her weight at the age of 13. She's 4 months into recovery now. She's been sharing her story on TikTok. She hosts a podcast and has also written a book. The 26-year-old has been speaking to Chloe Brewster from our colleagues at KMTV.
As I started to really look into anorexia, because I am a bit of a geek, I need to know everything about everything. And I felt so isolated and alone. And when I was looking into it and I saw that 1.2 million people have eating disorders, that someone dies every 52 minutes of anorexia. And when I started to really look into it, I was like, I can't be the only person. And I shared it on TikTok and I found a community of people that really then started to come to me asking for advice or why did I get help, etc., which is what led me on to writing the book, which led me on to continuing to post it, which led me on to a podcast, because this disease is so manipulative that people aren't meant to know about it, which is why I think when I say the numbers of someone dies every 52 minutes, people look at me and go, really? But that's the point. We don't want you to know. So if I could be the anomaly that stands out and goes, this is what you've got to do, this is really hard. Please, please, please listen to me. I can help because I'm in it. It's not, I'm not talking about the food freedom that maybe you might see online at this moment in time. I'm just telling people, you don't have to be another number. It's difficult, but we can kind of get through it together.
Mm-hmm. It must be hard as well to build a positive community around this. Just from my understanding, it can be quite a competitive disease, and it can end up being sort of, you see people complaining about recovery accounts that aren't really recovery accounts.
Yes.
How important is it to you to make sure you maintain that positive, well, not positive, but that honest and true outlook?
Yeah, it's really, really important to me, and I agree completely that it's such a competitive, and it's a, like I've said 100 times already on this, but it's very manipulative. My recovery journey that I've shared and sharing currently is, I don't at any point pretend to be recovered. I still struggle with this every day, which I think I should do at 4 months in. If at 4 months in, I said, no, this is easy peasy, after 13 years of these patterns being so deeply woven into the fabric of my life and my brain, it would be very inauthentic. And I think that's why the community that I've built is quite positive. Luckily, I still have people tell me that I'm, first of all, too fat to be anorexic, and I'm too skinny to talk about recovery. So anything online, you get those people and those comments, which they're allowed to feel that way. That's their own judgment. It doesn't reflect on me. But the community I've built is a lot of people that saw me on TikTok and saw that I was quite a happy, bubbly person, and they couldn't believe that I was struggling so much internally. And then they look at themselves and go, okay, I can't have this mask on for much longer. And it's a very supportive community that I've built at the moment, and I can only pray that it stays that way.
Annie's urging people suffering to reach out as soon as possible and talk to health professionals.
Kent Online News.
The way you drive into a shopping village in Maidstone changes from today, as £10 million worth of improvement works to the nearby road continue. You'll have to use a new access road to get to Newham Court, which is via the Kim's Hospital roundabout. It's all part of changes to the A249 Bearstead Road that started back in August and will take 15 months to complete. The site of an abandoned school in Folkestone has gone on the market for £1.85 million. Highview Special Needs School on Moat Farm Road closed in 2016. The local council had bought the land and planned to build 30 eco homes, but that idea was scrapped due to rising costs. A controversial housing estate on a green space in Hythe has taken its next step towards construction. Developers were given permission to build 40 homes off Station Road in March next year, despite concerns about an increase in traffic. They've now put forward what's known as the Reserved Matters application, which includes details on things like the layout, appearance and access for the scheme. There are plans to offer burial services at a new crematorium in Faversham. The site on Staple Street opened in 2023, but the Environment Agency said burials wouldn't be possible because of the risk of groundwater flooding. They're now satisfied it won't be an issue, and the funeral firm Memoria has submitted an application for 480 plots.
Kent Online News.
A Kent Animal Sanctuary has launched a new mission to try and rescue a young lynx from Ukraine. The Big Cat Sanctuary in Smarden has previously rehomed 5 lions from the war-torn country. They're now hoping to raise £100,000 to bring Ursa to the county after she was found living in poor conditions after being kept illegally as a pet. A Sheppey man has celebrated his 91st birthday by completing a park run. Dennis Payne is a regular at the running event on the Lees at Minster. He was given a box of chocolates by organisers after finishing the race on Saturday. And a Sittingbourne woman who set up a group for female motorsport fans is now collaborating with some of the biggest names in the industry. Corin Badham created the worldwide network Girls Across the Grid as part of efforts to make new friends after splitting from her partner of 7 years. The 30-year-old has since been invited to Downing Street for a Formula One celebration. She's also taking part in events at Silverstone and has worked with Aston Martin.
Kent Online Sports.
Briefly, taking a look at cricket, and Australia have reached the close of play on the third day of the final Ashes test on 518 for 7. It means they have a first innings lead of 134 runs in Sydney. Kent's Zach Crawley is in the England squad. The result of this match will determine whether they lose the series 3-2 or 4-1. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. To find out more, just head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.